If you've enjoyed listening to the Word of the Lord Endures Forever this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. You can also donate by check. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of 2021.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Here, Jesus orders the disciples to carry the gospel to all the world. I remember when it finally dawned on me that the gospel they were to preach is actually given in the following words. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is the gospel.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last podcast, we considered the church's traditional Easter Gospel reading, which ironically does not feature an appearance of the risen one. Instead, the myrrh-bearing women, heading to the tomb at the break of day, find the stone, which they'd been worrying about, moved away from the entrance. As they stoop down and enter, they file in and encounter that young man, remember the same term from Mark 14, seated at the right hand, clothed in a white garment. He tells them not to be afraid. Big angelic hint right there, and that he knows who they're looking for. But they're looking in the wrong place. He's the living one, the risen one. He invites them to check out the place where his body had been, but to realize he's on the move now. He's going ahead to Galilee, and they are being commissioned to go tell the disciples and Peter that that's where he'll be meeting them. The reading ends with them running from the tomb, taken with fear and amazement, and saying nothing. We did consider a manuscript tradition that went on to speak of them actually spreading the good news to Peter and the others. The culmination of the Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking in the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. St. Mark 16, verses 9 through 20. Let us pray. O God, in the Paschal feast you restore all creation. Continue to send your heavenly gifts upon your people, that they may walk in perfect freedom and receive eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So let's ponder God's word for today. Verse 9. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. Okay, first to the questions about authenticity. As I said, the way verse 8 concludes in the Greek strongly suggests that there was more intended to follow. The thought of many is that we've lost the very earliest ending of the gospel, and that might well be. But also, very early on, this ending that we're considering today came to be appended to the gospel. I've long suspected that if it is not original with St. Mark per se, it still is apostolic and might well be from St. Peter's preaching. I think that since the majority of manuscripts have included these verses, and since they play a key role in the history of the church, and the fathers cite them simply as part of St. Mark's gospel, as do the Lutheran confessions, we do very well to lay aside all skepticism and thank the Lord that we have them, and that they are authentically apostolic, whether or not they are written by the hand of the second evangelist. All the Gospels do include this appearance to Mary Magdalene as among the first appearances of the risen one. How does that fit with meet him in Galilee? I think it shows that the risen Christ was just too excited to wait for that. He saw the fear and the doubts that plagued his own and how slow they were to believe, and so he comes to them to chase their fears away, even down there in Judea. We're not given the details of this encounter with Mary. That's in John 20, verses 1 to 18. What matters is that the disciples didn't believe her. Verse 12. After these things, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking into the country, in verse 13, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. This is probably the Cliff Notes version of the same event that St. Luke unpacks in detail in chapter 24, dealing with the Emmaus disciples. And notice, they did not believe them, same as with Mary's message earlier. This suggests, I think, a way of understanding Luke 24:34 that I first heard from Dr. Bernell Eckert, a Lutheran pastor up in Kewaunee, Illinois, and a friend. He explained it like this. He said, it's possible that the 2 from Emmaus, they were the ones who said, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. So rather than the disciples who were back in the upper room announcing that to the 2 announce it to the disciples in the upper room. In other words, with Cleopas that day was Simon Peter. This then would be the appearance to Peter that's mentioned specifically in 1 Corinthians 15:5. It's a possibility anyway. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. Now follows the appearance in Jerusalem to the group. Is this Easter evening? Or is this the week following? I think it has to be the week following, because we're told it was an appearance to the 11. And we know that Thomas was not with the 10 on Easter evening. It was the following Sunday when Jesus deals with Thomas's struggle to believe, as we learn in John 20, verse 19 and following. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is St. Mark's version of the so-called Great Commission that we find in Matthew 28. Here, Jesus orders the disciples to carry the gospel to all the world. I remember when it finally dawned on me that the gospel that we're to preach is actually given in the following words. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is the gospel. In Acts 8, we read about the interaction between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we know that beginning in Isaiah 53, Philip preached to the eunuch the good news about Jesus. So what did he tell him? Well, remember that as soon as the eunuch spots water, he commands the chariot to stop, and he asks Philip what's keeping him from receiving baptism right then and there. Clearly, Philip preached the gospel as, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." The Ethiopian eunuch virtually leaps into the first bit of water he sees. Verse 17, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues." Verse 18, "They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." I think this passage is rather illumined for us by St. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 12:12. "The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works." These signs that Jesus mentions here as accompanying his believers specifically are the ones which the New Testament mentions as being fulfilled in the ministry of the apostles themselves. Think about how Acts covers the casting out of demons and the apostles all speaking in new tongues. And even the way St. Paul on Malta shook off into the fire the viper that had bit him, and how the natives were just waiting for him to swell up and die, but he was fine. How they laid their hands on sick people and healed them. The drinking of the deadly poison is particularly interesting in the later life of St. John, who, according to the church's tradition, by God's grace, thwarted an attempt to poison the chalice and kill him. St. Gregory the Great, writing at the beginning of the 7th century, he says, "These signs were needed at the church's beginning. The new faith needed to be nourished by miracles to grow. When we plant a vineyard, we must water the plants till we see that they've begun to grow in the earth. And when they have once taken root, we cease to water them constantly." So St. Gregory urges his hearers not to be troubled that the church of his time, or of ours, seems to lack these miraculous signs. These signs, which the apostles administered, confirmed for all time the truth of their witness to believers. Verse 19, "So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." Verse 20, "And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." And here's a very brief reference both to the Lord Jesus' ascension and to his session at the Father's right hand, like we have in the church's creeds. What is this but what the psalmist had sung? "God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Psalm 47, verses 5 to 7. Notice that our reigning Lord Jesus is not then distant or removed from the apostolic mission. Rather, he's the one who works with the preaching of the apostles as they go forth preaching in all places, confirming the truth of their words with the signs, the miracles he granted them to do. And that is exactly how the apostles themselves understood what was happening. You can see it from their prayer in Acts 4, verse 29. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And that is the wrap-up of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, people loved by God. As we heard from the beginning, St. Peter's witness to Jesus as the Son of God in human flesh. Up next, we move back to the Old Testament and also back to the Book of the 12. We dealt with Hosea some months back. Now we move on from that book to the second in the Book of the 12, the prophet Joel, whose very name proclaims Yahweh is God. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.